It's time. He's here. The food bench is in the. What do they used to say? In the food bench is in the house.
Where did that come from?
What, in the house?
In the house.
I'll work on that while you work on the mini shrimp.
No,
first,
don't work on it. Don't get distracted.
Okay.
Here's my pot pie report. I'm keeping this up.
Your PPR, okay.
I've gotten mail about this. I've gotten mail about other things as well, and I would like to share it one of these days. But anyway, the pot pie report this week is another frozen product, Boston Market Chicken Pot Pie. Now, I remember, because I'm old, when Boston Market started, and if I remember correctly, I might not actually, didn't it start out as a place you went to for rotisserie chicken or something like that? So, of course, chicken pot pie makes sense. But I don't know if there are even any Boston Market stores left. There are none near me. But my supermarket had the pot pies on sale for $4 each. I would have bought them even at the regular price of $6-something because, of course, every week I got to do a pot pie report. And I hadn't tried these, and the box looked nice. But my experience with the what they picture on the box often has no relation to what's in the box. In this case, it actually looked like the picture in the box when I cooked it up. So we liked Boston Market pot pie, the bottom line here. Would we buy it again? Probably. It's a good thing to have in the freezer, but I must say, it takes a good 70 minutes to bake through. And one fussy thing that I did it in the oven, which they have, by the way, the ridiculous instruction on the box tells you, even if you're doing it in an oven, 400-degree oven, to only do one at a time. If you were in the microwave, yeah, they're giving you instructions for one at a time. Interestingly, they expect only one person to be eating this alone because they don't give you any instruction about if you want to put two in your microwave and blah, blah. But I'm not microwaving it anyway. I guess I could call the company, which, by the way, you can. I read boxes. It's made in Canada. Boston Market products are made in Canada, and they actually have a very prominent maple leaf in a white circle on the front of the box, and it says Canada on it, made with all white meat chicken. There was enough chicken. The vegetables were fine. There are corn kernels in it. I thought that was a nice touch. Who puts corn kernels in the mix? The sauce itself was not overly thickened. It was savory. And the crust was really flaky and delicious. So, and it's a two-crust pie. Well, you know, the bottom crust never gets crisp like the top crust does. And one of the other silly instructions they have, which makes it fussy, is to cover the ridge of the pastry, the rim of the pastry, the edge of the pastry, with aluminum foil before you put it in the oven. Well, I didn't want to do that, so I didn't. And you know what? I like the slightly browner and hence flakier edge of the pastry, and it didn't suffer the least by being exposed to the heat. All right. Next week, I don't know what. But oh, by the way, in the meantime, we have gone back to KFC just to see if that's still our standard, and it is.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm getting a little lazy, and I know summer is coming, and it's going to be too hot to cook. Ha, ha, ha. Shrimp. I don't know. My mind goes to shrimp. And fact is, I just discovered a supermarket in my neighborhood with a fish department that is really good. Rarely are these supermarket fish departments really good. I bought some shrimp there because they were on sale, and Bob mentioned this to a friend of ours who does not live in the neighborhood or anywhere near this supermarket, who said, oh, yeah, I bike over there to buy fish.
Ooh, all right, so are you going to tell us where it is or not?
Oh, I don't think anybody cares about a supermarket in Windsor Terrace, Brooklyn.
Okay.
It's just, by the way, I was about to say it's an ordinary Key Food store, but Key Food is rebranding itself, and every Key Food has a different local name. For instance, the one on my neighborhood is called Flatbush Market because it's on Flatbush Avenue. And this one is called, I think it's called maybe Windsor Market. I don't even know.
That's interesting.
They're all Key Foods to me.
Just come, because going back when some of us were still riding our bikes, you know, the supermarket had a name. It was not as and chained. You know, it was Sunshine Supermarket.
Well, I don't know. This is in Windsor Terrace on 11th Avenue, if anybody cares.
Okay.
In some things, it's very expensive and stupidly expensive, I've got to say. And other things, it's very amazingly cheap. So it all balances out. And what puts balance in my direction is a parking lot.
Right.
You know, in Brooklyn, to find a supermarket with a parking lot so convenient is not easy. Anyway, back to shrimp. Which is the subject of the day, because I cook a lot of shrimp, and I know I will be cooking more shrimp, especially since I've been buying such good shrimp from this fish market. Anyway, and I also buy other things. I bought other things from the fish market. Now that I trust him on shrimp, I've trusted him on is it bassa, which is a kind of catfish from Southeast Asia. It's all farmed. It's very inexpensive, like tilapia, another one. Anyway, now that I trust him, I buy these things. But the shrimp I made yesterday as a salad with white beans. Gotta say, as I get older, I realize more and more that ingredients really count. And so I have these incredible beans from Umbria, cannellini beans, and I've actually cooked a pound of those and against it at the same time a pound of Goya brand beans from the supermarket, which I always thought were just fine, and these are so much better. So I cooked up a pound of these the other day, and I've done different things with it. A pound of cooked cannellini beans, there's a lot of cannellini beans. We had it with pasta fazool, as Italian Americans will say, pasta and beans, just very white and plain, with really good olive oil, salt, pepper. Do we have any garnish on that at all? Not really, no. The beans themselves, I soak overnight, or at least 12 hours, and then in the same water, put them over medium heat, let them come to a boil, and as soon as they start boiling, I turn down the heat to the lowest possible, so it's just very, very slowly perking away. I put in a couple of glugs of good olive oil and usually one large clove of garlic smashed underneath the heel of my hand, not really smashed, but just cracked open and peeled. Throw that in the pot. And I also, very often, when I have it, of course, will put in some leaves of fresh sage. Now, I didn't put any herbs in this. It was just the garlic and the oil. And when the beans are nearly done, but not really, you can add some salt, at least a half a teaspoon. Make the water a little bit salty, and then the beans will absorb some of the salt. And that's it. And those beans go in the fridge. I mean, I use them usually, some like I did the other day with pasta, immediately. But they go in the fridge, and I can do different things. Now, one of the things I like to do is make a salad of white beans, cannellini beans, and tuna. But I bought shrimp instead. And I've been thinking about making shrimp. Bob loves shrimp salad. Let's start with that. And usually mayonnaise-based shrimp salad. And I thought, yeah, I've been thinking, I just don't want to have that mayonnaise. So I cut up, first of all, I boiled the shrimp. There are a lot of things you can do with just plain old boiled shrimp, including making shrimp cocktail. I'll get to that in a minute. But to boil shrimp, I say 1 pound of shrimp, you want at least 3 quarts of boiling salted water. put the shrimp in the boiling salted water, and they will come back to the boil, usually in a minute, with that quantity of water and that quantity of shrimp, and let them boil for 3 minutes, and then scoop them out. I use my spider to do this. That's that net Chinese thing on a bamboo handle. But, you know, a slotted spoon will do, or a strainer, whatever. Just get them out of the water at 3 minutes. Let them sit until they're... By the way, I buy... They're already clean. The only thing attached is the tail. In this case, with the shrimp cocktail, I took the tails off after they were boiled, and I cut up each shrimp into 3 or 4 parts, put it in a bowl with, you know... For a pound of shrimp, I'm sure I must have used close to 2 cups of drained, cooked cannellini. Now, if you want to make a salad like this without cooking your own cannellini, a 1 can of cannellini drained, perhaps rinsed. You know, I don't really like to rinse, but some people do. But 1 can of cannellini for 1 pound of shrimp. The cannellini, I think it's a 15-ounce can. And you can buy them in the supermarket. By the way, other beans go well with shrimp, too. If you feel like doing kidney beans or... somehow I don't want to do black beans, but why not? Anyway, you put the beans and the shrimp together, and I added a good 1/4 cup of coarsely chopped parsley, of 1 large rib of celery, minced as fine as I could mince it. What else did I throw in there? Well, of course, a good amount of olive oil. I would say 1/4 cup of olive oil, and salt and pepper. And if you wanted to, a minced scallions or a minced shallot, couldn't hide. And that's pretty much it. Very, very simple. And the beans, delicious. And we ate that with a lot of lettuce, gotta say. Fill us up, and there was enough dressing. Oh, did I forget? Lemon juice. I used 2 whole lemons, a juice of 2 whole big lemons, and you know what? It wasn't quite enough, so I supplemented it with, I don't know, maybe a tablespoon or so of white wine vinegar. Even with that, Bob thought it could have used more acid, and he added red wine vinegar to his plate, not to mine. And that's it. And that created enough dressing. After it, you should let it sit for a while. Let the beans absorb flavor. Let the shrimp absorb some lemony flavor. Very good. We really enjoyed that. Now, the other thing I make quite frequently, actually, is shrimp oreganata. Shrimp oreganata is nothing more than shrimp with breadcrumbs. But you got to season the breadcrumbs. So for a cup of breadcrumbs, I would use at least a tablespoon of minced garlic, a couple tablespoons of finely chopped parsley. If you feel like crushing some fennel seed, you can put that in there, salt, pepper. And then you toss your shrimp in this breadcrumb mixture. Oh, oil, I forgot. I mean, you have to moisten these breadcrumbs with good olive oil. And that'll make them crunchy in the end. And also, I don't like when a recipe says to drizzle the oil over whatever it is. It never really distributes as well as if you mix it in with the breadcrumbs to begin with. So I do that. And oregano, I mean, it's oreganata. You have to put oregano. Now, I have been using, we were talking about ingredients, I have been using Mexican oregano that my housekeeper's mother brings us from Mexico, and it is very powerful oregano. So I have lost my concept of how much oregano if I would use, if I was using as I used to, this Sicilian oregano or the oregano I used to buy on near Sorrento on the roadside. Actually, there was a man there who sold oregano. He had boys going around the mountainsides picking oregano, and then he would sell it on the road. Couldn't get better than that. But, you know, so you want a little or a lot of oregano, depending on your oregano, in those breadcrumbs. And then you toss all the shrimp in the breadcrumbs and then arrange them in 1 layer in a pan or on a baking sheet. I'm into using parchment lately, so I arrange them on a parchment piece of paper on a baking sheet. And then they go in a 400-degree oven, and they could take as long as 15 minutes in the 400-degree oven. And that's it. That's the whole deal. And they're delicious. And all you need is a salad or a vegetable on the side. Now, let's get back to plain old boiled shrimp. Pardon me?
I was just going to say, before you go, okay, so I've got a plain old boiled shrimp question, but I've also got a, do you buy the shrimp deveined, Sheldon deveined, or do you?
Interesting question.
Do it yourself.
Good question. You know what? I'm not conscious of veins. They are cleaned. They always sell them. They say they're cleaned. Okay. So I just don't do anything to them except cook them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't pay attention. And, you know, the really big ones will have a, it's not a vein, you know, it's an intestine.
I understand.
Yeah. So if the if you're using jumbo shrimp, I would definitely cut that out. It's unsightly and whatever. But on the 20, 25 per pound shrimp, I never see a vein, so to cut out.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So 3-minute boil is, to me, perfect for that size shrimp. You will have to judge yourself, but do have the water at a large quantity at a rolling boil, and it should only take 3 minutes. By the way, almost every shrimp you buy is previously frozen. This, if you lived in the Gulf of Mexico, you could probably get, I know you can get, really good fresh shrimp right out of the Gulf. However, up here in the Northeast, it's hard to find this fresh shrimp. So really, there's no point in buying the defrosted shrimp unless you're going to cook them that day, or at best the next day, at worst I should say the next day. However, there's nothing wrong with buying frozen shrimp. I mean, they're going to be defrosted by somebody. They might as well be defrosted by you.
Good point.
Now, I don't even bother defrosting them if I buy them frozen. A bag, you know, you need a large quantity of water, larger than you would if you didn't have frozen shrimp. But I bring a large pot of water to the boil and just throw the frozen shrimp in, and frozen shrimp will take longer than 3 minutes, but not much longer than 5 or 6. You can tell they're done when they're pink and they curl, and don't overcook them. Now, what are you going to put on them? Now, I like good old-fashioned, I really do like good old-fashioned cocktail sauce, ketchup, or Heinz cocktail sauce. Even then, added some horseradish, lemon juice, a dash or two of Worcestershire sauce if you like it. If you like it spicy, of course, you could use Tabasco sauce. Now, interestingly, because I've been to New Orleans a few times, even though Tabasco we always think of as a Louisiana product, which it is, it's not the favored sauce in New Orleans anyway. It's something called Louisiana Gold. So if you ever see Louisiana Gold in a specialty food store, you might want to pick up one. But I must say, I keep Tabasco in the house all the time, and I think it works perfectly well. Now, this is a remoulade, shrimp remoulade, a recipe from a man named John Folsey. He was a chef. I don't know if he still has this one, a restaurant in Donaldsonville, Louisiana, called Lafitte's Landing. But I do know that he has a restaurant in New Orleans in the French Quarter. So I know John is still working hard. So this is, I don't know, I met John maybe 30 years ago, could be even more, and I've been making this ever since. It's 1.5 cups of your regular mayonnaise. Now, down there, they're using Duke's. Up here, we're using Hellman's. 1.5 cups. To that, you stir in 1/2 cup of Creole mustard. Now, it ends up, Creole mustard is nothing but whole grain mustard, like the Dijon whole grain mustard, any whole grain mustard, half a cup, a tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, a teaspoon of hot pepper sauce, as in Tabasco, one half cup of finely diced scallions. We call them scallions. Down there, they say green onions. A little bit of the green in that half cup of diced green onions. A third of a cup, less than a half a cup. Let's say one very large stalk of celery, finely diced. A couple tablespoons of minced garlic, fresh garlic, please. One, you know, there's a disease going around called garlic powder. I, the other day, ordered something from my local pizzeria, and I detected garlic powder. Very upsetting. Anyway, a quarter of a cup of parsley, and then you're going to need the final seasoning of lemon juice, pepper, and salt. Hard to tell you how much, but I would say at least a half a teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, at least a half a teaspoon of salt, probably more, the juice of a lemon. You mix that all up together, and this is important. Let it sit for a while. Certainly, the garlic will get stronger as it all gets together as it sits. So put it in the fridge for several hours, if not overnight. And the next day, with your plain old boiled shrimp ready to be eaten, you can drizzle on or pour on some of this remoulade. Don't do it ahead of time. The shrimp get a creepy texture if you let them sit in the sauce very long. So I would make a bed of shredded lettuce, whichever lettuce you like. I prefer romaine for this. Shredded romaine, and then put the shrimp on top, and then put on your remoulade. And hats off to John Falsey. For a recipe that has stayed in my repertoire for over 30 years. What else can you do? I like plain old Russian dressing for shrimp. There are days that we don't want a tomato-based cocktail sauce, and I'm very happy just with half ketchup, half mayonnaise, and a big spoon of relish. Mr. Harned loves pickle relish, so we always have pickle relish in the fridge, and that really does, and also some lemon juice if you
like. What about I have to mention Mr. Miles here. What about Thousand Island?
Well, what is the difference? Actually, I do know the difference.
Well, I don't, and this is all about him because I put the anti sign against Russian dressing. Then this was always a book, you know, if it's oil.
So what is Thousand Island to you?
What?
What is Thousand Island dressing to you?
Basically, Russian dressing with either chopped pickles or something in it.
All right. Well, here is, I happen to have in my computer, the original Thousand Island dressing recipe, which, of course, is named for the Thousand Islands up, you know, Canada, U.S., North.
Right.
It was a recipe invented by a guy named Oscar Chirsky, who published it, by the way, in 1896. And it's a cute story, maybe true, maybe not true, but here's the recipe. I mean, basically the story is, it's one of those stories where they ran out of food and somebody had to concoct something. But here's the dressing, the original recipe, supposedly. A cup of mayonnaise, a quarter of a cup of chili sauce or ketchup. I must say, I do like that chili sauce product that Heinz makes. Two tablespoons of finely minced pimento-stuffed olives. Ha ha. A tablespoon of finely minced green pepper.
Hmm.
A tablespoon of minced chives. A chopped hard-cooked egg. Two teaspoons of finely chopped parsley. And you just mix it all together. So it's basically Russian dressing with the additions of a little minced green pepper, chives, and hard-cooked egg and parsley. And it sounds good, right?
Totally different, yeah.
Well, you know, it's a less simple. anyway, that's the original Thousand Island dressing, named after the Thousand Islands in Canada. And, you know, the other thing is tartar sauce. Who says tartar sauce is only for fried fish? I think it's really good as a, you know, a shrimp cocktail sauce, too. And for tartar sauce is ketchup, and I, for me, it's ketchup, minced scallion, minced, well, scallion, could be scallions, but I actually use shallots more often. And if you have tarragon vinegar, it's a really good addition. Otherwise, I use apple cider vinegar to loosen up the mayonnaise. And that's about it.
And you use ketchup for your tartar sauce?
No. No, it's a white sauce.
Okay, good. No, I still
tartar sauce to me is a white sauce. I mean, and by the way, I have tried some of these bottled ones just for the hell of it because that's my job.
Right.
They're disgusting. I mean, the textures are disgusting. I don't know what's wrong with just stirring up some mayonnaise. I know a lot of people don't like mayonnaise because of the. I don't know how
you're,
you.
You're,
don't
you're
like
talking
mayonnaise.
To one, but that's just that's not because of what's in it. It's just You know,
What bothers you about mayonnaise?
The fact that my mother ate a Miracle Whip out of the jar, and I hated it.
Well, that's disgusting.
That'll do it.
But it's not mayonnaise.
But the fact that it's egg and oil, I have no problem with it. I will eat any one of those.
Have you ever had? I'm sure you have had homemade mayonnaise,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course.
Could be divine.
It is.
Depends on the oil, I think.
Right.
I do not make mayonnaise, by the way, with extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
I might add, here's a little trick, though. I learned from a friend in Salerno. She just takes her store-bought mayonnaise and beats into it a couple tablespoons of her best extra virgin olive oil. And it gives it a nice flavor and a more homemade feeling. And that's it. It's a nice trick, I think.
I knew someone who did that, and also added a soup salt, a little bit of Dijon to it.
Oh, a little bit of Dijon helps a lot of things.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, my next shrimp outing is going to be cooked shrimp because it's still cool enough to cook.
Okay.
And something I made last week, and I'm going to do it again because we loved it so much, is just plain shrimp. Sauteed with a lot of garlic, and then I throw in some capers. I have the best salted capers. They're really great. And a lemon juice, and extend it a little bit with a couple tablespoons of white wine. And that's it. Just sauteed shrimp with garlic. Oh, and parsley, of course. Garlic, capers, lemon, and parsley.
I'll be there for that. Do you use, olive oil, or do you use a...
No, olive oil. I'm an olive oil. I mean, you could do that with butter, and it would be very delicious, but in my house,
just
I do
check
it with olive oil.
I'm becoming buttery in my old age.
I can understand that, believe me. And by the way, we don't eat that with... if I was going to have any starch with that, I would have maybe just a boiled potato. No pasta. Or it's just some good bread to mop up the juices.
There you
now
go.
Now I'm getting hungry, guys.
Me too.
So I think I have to go.
Which means your listeners are as well.
That's a good thing.
Always.
Okay. Everybody have a great week. And keep the mail coming, mmiles at Robin Hood Radio. And I'm trying to answer them personally. Just be patient with me.
No problem.
Take care, kids.
Thank you very much. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.